Hey guys, and welcome to another edition of ForgeCast. I'm Lovecore.
Malikan.
And today we're actually going to talk a bit about what drives our community here. So, as we all know, we just had the recent Q&A with Stoneblade Forums, or Stoneblade Games. That was it was pretty good. I mean, I wasn't too thrilled. I think it was most stuff that most of us kind of already saw coming. It wasn't anything super, super new.
Nothing groundbreaking.
Yeah, nothing groundbreaking. I mean, the best leak we had was that we will be able to quit games on the iPad demo. That's the best leak that we had going. Other than that, I mean, it was good to see and hear from Stoneblade. I kind of felt that this QA was actually long overdue.
Yeah, they've been quiet for a while.
They have been quiet for a while. So, I guess we're just going to kind of jump right in and into what we feel makes a good community. And one of the things I personally feel that makes a good community is multiple community sites. You know, right now we currently have Forge Watch. They do a good job with their articles and everything they write over there. And you have us at Forge Gamers. I'm really hoping that we see a few more and or other sites that already do TCGs. Star City Games.
TCG Player. Do multiple games.
Yeah. I would like to see them pick it up and write articles as well and get into the community that way too. I feel like in this situation, any press is good press.
Yeah.
The more we know, the more we're gonna end up seeing and hearing about it, and hopefully it'll drive the game to those levels that we are personally really hoping for. I guess just to kind of recap on, you know, we might as well first, maybe some people have, for whatever reason, have not listened to the Q&A and they're actually listening to us.
The only news that has come out for the game in a couple months.
Yeah, you know, just so we're kind of on track, they still say they're on March for a beta release.
They're on target for first quarter,
which is awesome, and it will be a PC, and from what it sounded like, they're still kind of working out the technical difficulties of a beta on iOS, so we may or may not see it, I don't know, but we will definitely see a demo for the PC closer to that beta release is what it made it sound as they were going to kind of release the PC demo and give us an updated version with probably maybe some new cards, you know, turning sound on and off, quitting a game, that type of stuff. So just a general overall update. They just wanted to include the PC because I feel like there's actually been a lot of requests for that.
Requests for PC?
Yeah.
And most people have a PC. A lot of people do not have
access to that iPad.
I'm one of them.
Yeah. I mean, and actually it's funny. I was just reading a forum post by a guy on the official forums, and the title was "Get an iPad Already." I just wanted to scream at him, it's not worth it.
Yeah,
but
I
didn't, so. Let's
see.
It's
not worth it. I don't have $500. I can scrape together maybe $300.
$300, you can get a Nexus, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. The next thing they kind of went over on the Q&A, we'll just quickly touch on, is that they said the first set of cards is about 200 cards.
Solid.
I think that's pretty good, to be honest.
For a brand new game
that's just coming out, and they've got all this other stuff on their plate, I think that 200 cards is great. I mean, as it is now, I think we have 30-something cards in the card database, yeah. And so seeing those next set of cards is going to be really awesome. They did hint at other mechanics that we haven't seen yet, and he said that they play well with each other, that type of thing. That's really awesome.
I think a big driving force behind the scenes is going to be synergy.
Yeah, I agree. Synergy is probably
when you take away resources, you take away costs. Synergy is
what
this game is going to be about, and I'm excited for that.
Yeah,
because a lot of card games are missing that.
Yes, a lot of card games, at least to the levels that we're probably going to see in Soulforge.
That you should see.
Yes, exactly. And you know, one other thing is that you know while we were watching that QA, they had mentioned faction restrictions. And kind of how to deal with that. I mean, that's a difficult thing to kind of deal with.
Yeah, because that's really the only thing that's going to distinguish decks from each other.
Exactly, right. We're not going to see... I mean, we don't have mana here. You know what I mean?
We don't have resources to limit our
ability to play cards. That's not something... You know, we don't get limited by that. So, you know, it's very difficult for them to kind of plan around how is it going to be, what's the incentive to switch up and, you know, not play more than one. Personally, I I do not like the idea of being able to play every faction. I can't stand it. I would, at this point of casting this, would feel okay if they limited decks to two factions.
It depends on what kind of...
Well, it depends on your format, I feel.
It depends on what they penalty you get for playing four factions, because they talked about penalties.
Yeah, they did. They talked about perks and penalties in terms of because, factions, yeah, right?
You don't want to... One of the biggest problems way back with Versus system was that they made it so that you could team up different teams too easily, and it made it so decks were ridiculously complicated. It was all about broken interactions rather than a solid, synergistic deck.
Right. Another thing they kind of talked about was something we've talked about in one of our previous podcasts was errata cards and tweaking cards and re-releasing them, that type of thing. So we don't see that overbalancing and overpowered
situation. And they said that they will not be banning cards.
Yes. So
they will just be errated. Which is awesome. I hate banning cards.
Yeah, banning again.
Or restricting them.
Yeah. And did we release it? We did release that podcast, right? Or did we talk about that in the tournament cast? I don't remember. By the time you listen to this, it will have already been out there, so that's all right.
Yes.
This is actually the first podcast we're doing post QA. So
yes, yes.
All of the other stuff that you may have heard in Zero.
The last two podcasts were pre-Q&A.
Pre-Q&A,
right. So some of the ideas that we talked about might be a little, I guess, dated.
Yeah, if you will.
But I think it's important that they're out there and that you hear what we thought before this information came out.
Yes. Let's see, what else did they talk? They touched on tournament play, which is the podcast previous to this. We talked a lot about the tournament play.
Yes.
And some ideas that we had and thought about that. I was actually really bummed to hear no cash tournaments at this point. I didn't want cash, but I would have liked, again, Stoneblade coin or something like that. But playing for promo cards is just as cool, you know. And they really nailed it when they said when you're playing for cash, you're not playing for the game. You're playing for the money.
I don't have a problem with them not having cash at first. If they give away, like, iPads. Like WoW gives away iPads, but with Soulforge, it will sort of
make
sense. It kind of
makes sense, because they're...
What I didn't like was when he said that if it becomes big enough, we will implement something like this. It should be when we become big enough,
right.
We have this already thought out, we already have this in place to go forward.
Right. And you know, on that vibe of Q&A and when it's in place, that type of stuff, I kind of got the vibe that they're aiming towards a more casual audience for this game. I was, again, you and I were both on the train of thought that they were trying to compete.
We both made the assumption that they would be competing with other very competitive games.
Yes. And honestly, that's what draws me to the game. If Soulforge doesn't have that competitive edge to it, I couldn't see myself playing it for all too long. I would play it maybe every here and there, you know, on the tablet. Maybe I got a minute or two to burn. I'm in the bathroom. I don't want to play Angry Birds, that kind of deal. You know, so...
There's an image.
Well, hey, of course, in the bathroom playing Angry Birds, probably the best thing you'd pop in your head all day. But yeah, that's what I feel like that's where the game would go if we didn't have that kind of competitive feel to it. I mean, a lot of people... if you look out there, there's a bunch of TCGs, digital platform TCGs already. None of them are serious.
No.
Zero of them are seriously complete. I mean, the closest thing you could probably say is serious would be Ascension, again, done by Gary Games, Stoneblade now, and Shadow Era. They do a lot of tournaments and the stuff for those guys.
But tournaments for that game, because you've played that more than I have.
Yeah.
What do you get for?
iPads and credit and all that other stuff. They do they do prizes and the such now. And now that they've added, you know, a draft feature to it, that's gotten bigger. So I really, really hope that Stoneblade doesn't turn a blind eye to us competitive gamers. And even if the first year of Soulforge isn't competitive oriented, I hope the second year is. Because I couldn't see myself sticking with the game. You know, as a competitive gamer, I'm always looking for something seriously to take serious and play and really devote time to. And I feel like this could really be it. So I'm hoping that maybe, you know, the first year there's a ton of bugs. You know, you got all this stuff on their plate. So the first year I can't really see it. Maybe towards the end of their first release year where they've got new ladders and their ELO system in place and that type of thing is now maybe at this point they're starting to forge forward towards a competitive scene. It did take Riot a year to really get competitive. So
the first time I watched the Q&A, I watched it twice because I watched it just this morning, just for this podcast. I got the same impression as you did, that it seemed like they were driven more towards casual play. But the second time I watched it, it really seemed that it was just the questions that were being asked.
That's true.
We unfortunately couldn't participate in the Q&A. We were both working. And after I watched it, it's just like, I should have posted so many things on the forums before. User-based tournaments, if users can make tournaments, what kind of secondary market are they looking to have, or do they expect to have, things like that.
Yeah, there were some questions I would have liked to have addressed, but unfortunately, we're called, and we had to be there. So, we missed that one. Maybe we'll take a day off for the next one. Who knows?
Hopefully there'll be a next one, and I've already got questions laid out.
Yeah, and that's another thing, is we had, SEO man, he's on our team, he's really good, he was there for it, he had questions asked and answered. Mirrodin, who was there, he was in participating there. We could have probably planned a little better.
Yes.
But
realistically, a lot of the, I threw some questions at you, a lot of the big questions that come up after.
Yeah, so, but that's good. I mean, I feel like the QA did a good job of kind of keeping the community informed with what exactly is going on, and where they stand, that type of thing. Something we touched about in one of our first casts was that we still have not seen the Stoneblade offices yet. And they did mention in the Q&A did have an office, but they were lacking internet. Well, that's a giant bummer. I'm hoping that if they listen to this,
it'll be fun.
Give us a tour. I want to check it out. Shoot us with, I want to be part of that.
24/7 camera.
Yeah, I will fly out to California and do it if that's what it takes.
That'd be kind of sweet. Just like League of Legends with their gamer houses.
Yep.
And granted, you'd have to set something up so you can see a whole lot.
I will figure it out. Fly me out. I'll do it. Let's see. What else? On the topic of, this podcast is what makes a community really stand out. And it's something I think that we need more of is actually diversity. I think that we need all walks of gaming life. I want players from a TCG aspect. I want players from a mobile aspect. I want players from a first-person shooter, RTS. I want to draw people from every corner of gaming, not even just digital. I want board gamers. I want D&Ders. I want everybody's input. Because when we get so many people in such a melting pot, the ideas just start exploding. So we're going to see all sorts of awesome, once we get all these other people in there, people are going to want to make cards and they're going to want to post them. And like, this is a great source of inspiration for cards that I think that Stoneblade could really, really benefit from. So I feel like the community that we currently have now is actually only a small sliver of the TCG community.
Yes.
I don't feel like we are totally reaching out so far that we're reaching every aspect of gaming. So I hope that's something we do see. And, when we get the beta and, we've got three of us, me, you, SEO Man, and probably Tom and Mirrodin, we'll all be streaming during the beta every second. I mean,
every second. That's
every second, yeah, of free time was going to be dedicated to streaming that beta, assuming the beta is player versus player. Not just, which I'm obviously, I know it sounds crazy, but I don't see why at first it wouldn't be a single player beta with access to all the cards, and then introducing the multiplayer. Maybe there's some back end that they still wanted to work on, but they still wanted to push the beta on time. Assuming it is, you got player versus player going on. Yeah, it'll be 24/7.
See, I would assume
streaming.
That they would start with player versus player. I would think that would be
me too. But unfortunate things kind of those things pop up. You know what I mean? As a programmer, those things are unfortunate and they do happen. So I feel like if Stoneblade had to, they would release a single player version of the game as the beta to keep kind of let us see all the cards and get used to everything, and then release the multiplayer shortly after, which I'd be fine with too. I just want, when all said and done, we all want more access to the cards. We want to see all the cards. We want to see all the synergy. We want to wrap our brain around the deck building and all that type of aspect of it. So
now, when you say single player, do you mean
player
versus the AI, or do you mean the campaign?
I mean player versus AI as well as pass and play. I refer to single player. That's so, hopefully that is, that's not something we're going to run into. Hopefully the second the beta comes out, we will have the player in place, and we will all be rolling our face on our keyboard having a good time.
Well, let's talk about what makes a strong CCG community.
Okay.
Let's use Magic as an example. What drives Magic? and what could help drive this game.
Well, the thing about that is, I think what drives Magic is, dead honestly, FNM. I think Friday Night Magic was Magic's saving grace. Before there was FNM, you had your local shop running in-house tournaments, and you really didn't have any other time people would get together and play. I mean, sure, you had people come in, they'd be like, meet their buddies at your local shop and play, but before FNM, you really didn't, you had to rely on your tournament coordinators, your local shops to play, you know, to organize these events for you. And I played forever before FNM, and when they had FNM, it was awesome. It spurred life into the scene around here, and the scene went from maybe 10 players to 50, 60 players all wanting to get, you know, Friday night. It's all just, so I feel like that's something that helps drive Magic. Another thing that helped drive Magic, you know, talking about a physical card game is a lot different.
It is.
I mean, that is what spurs that, what keeps that going. I mean, obviously it's got such a foothold now, but before that, I mean, those events, interacting with those players and that type of thing, like the actual in-play, you know, playing with people in real life is what makes that game great. That's something we won't really see with Soulforge. We will, as they mentioned, at cons, we'll see some stuff, that type of thing. But, you know, as it is, if they do a tournament every week, you're not going to know your opponent. You know what I mean? You're not going to have that.
That's true.
That card game aspect of, you know, or shaking your opponent's hand, saying, hey, I'm Lovecore, have a good game. You know what I mean?
Or the MMO aspect where you play with a person for a while.
Right.
And you build up a friend list.
Right, exactly. So I think those are things that actually drive the physical card game community, which we really don't get to see much of on a digital platform. That's one of the reasons I feel like having this podcast is really great, because it's just a platform for the community to reach out and kind of say things. It's, you know, same with the forums. I think that's as good as it's gonna get for, you know, people actually becoming a closely knit community. Of course, when the game, you know, launches and it hopefully it picks up this huge steamroll of popularity, you're gonna get teams together. You know,
yeah.
As we kind of already see it now, not to huge extent, but you know, me, you, Mirrodin, SEO, we're Forge gamers. You know, that's us. You've got Racecar and his team. That's Forge Watch. I mean, just like we had in when we played seriously competitive WoW, we had deck building teams, and we would all work together on a deck and that type of stuff. So that's something I feel like that will eventually pop up and help forge a community together too. I feel like those are some of the staples in a physical card realm that helps the game push forward. You know, you also do have live events. We won't be able to fly to, I mean, we'll go, sure, Gen Con and Comic-Con and all these, we're all going to have, you know, Gary Stoneblade said that they want in-game tournaments, you know, real tournaments, that type of thing. So they'll be out there for those, and I will probably make it out to those, just based on, you know,
maybe
what they are, that type
of
thing.
But definitely some of them.
Yeah. So, but I feel like that's another thing in Magic's case that really drives the game. I mean, now, given the popularity, they stream it, you know, we have streaming way back, that type of stuff. So those are all little pieces that forge the community together. I would like to see, even if I wouldn't expect Stonebait to pay their pro players. What I would expect from Stoneblade was to be, if you're a pro player and they do come up with some type of pro point system, I would really hope that you would get your hand in on card design and flavor of the game. That's what I would really hope to see. So say you win the Soulforge World Championship, you get your card, you know what I mean? You get to design a card. You get to have your input on, you know, areas of the lore or that type of thing. That's what I would really like to see. I think that would be really awesome. And hey, if they want to pay you in Stoneblade bucks, let them throw you $10 on Stoneblade bucks. I don't know. But that's, you know, I feel like, especially with the last comment in their Q&A and on how when you play for money, you play for the money. You don't play for the game. I feel like having that, the ability, I would play twice as hard to make my own card than I would to play for actual money. I've got enough money. I don't need it. But I would do not have my own Soulforge card.
That's a good point.
Another thing that kind of plays in the role of a good community is the lack of trolls. We don't have any at this point.
No, we don't.
And
do
I
we?
Love it. I absolutely love it. You know how refreshing
Grant,
it is?
You're hanging out a freaking car to invite them right now.
Yeah,
but...
I know. We need troll be gone. This is great. I actually like being able to log on to the forums. But again, it's given that it's not that popular at the moment. I like being able to log on to the forums.
Popularity,
yeah, as everything. Exactly. Keeping the forums essentially troll-free has been great. I feel like everybody who comes to the forums and asks a question, whether we've posted it or not, or, you know, seen it before, or it's been posted before, you'll get a dead honest answer with no hostility whatsoever, which I absolutely love. It's not like in League of Legends, even before League of Legends was as popular as it was, when we played it back in beta and we would say something on the forums, there was just trolls in that game already. And that was just the nature of the game. It's a Dota spawn.
Oh, I remember when I first started playing, I absolutely know what I was doing, and people were just hating on
oh,
it
yeah.
so hard. It's the beta.
Yeah, that's what I really hope to avoid with this game. I really hope that we don't get Jackass 1 and Jackass 2 blowing up the forums and being complete douchebags, because that's what degrades the community the fastest. It tears itself down from essentially the inside.
When it comes to an online community,
yes.
And there are so many pitfalls in what these guys are trying to do. I do not want.
No.
I don't want their job, because you have all the... all the headaches of a brand new TCG, which is hard enough as it is, and then all the headaches of a digital game.
Yeah, I mean, you're smashing your head against a brick wall on one side and a metal one on the other. I mean, it's rough to keep a community clean and going forward. Riot tried to clean it up, and they have the summoner's code and that they made us all agree to at one point, which is kind of laughable. But it still hasn't really worked. So,
and then the things that they've implemented to try and clean up their community, they can't do with this game.
Right.
Like the, you can log in.
Oh, the feedback, yeah.
The feedback.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah. So.
Because I played with that for a while and got myself some free Riot points.
Yeah, and now you don't even get Riot points.
Well, not even Riot points. It's...
Yeah, you don't get them anymore now. They took that away, too.
Really?
So they expect you to do it on the goodness of your heart. Because giving away those 10, that 100 free IP was breaking them.
10 was more accurate.
So, you know, I hope that we can keep the community clean, and it's not just, you know, I don't want to be like the forum police, but it takes everybody as a whole to make the forums,
to
make the
community,
yes. I mean, it takes everybody wanting to keep the community clean to do it. So, hopefully that's something we won't run into, but only time's gonna tell.
Okay, guys, that's gonna do it for this episode of the Forgecast. Remember, check us out on Facebook, hit us up on Twitter, and if we are looking for content writers, so anyone who's interested, throw us a line at social@forgegamers.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.